Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
This statement is humbly called, hockey games, U.S. play-by-play commentators have utterly ruined.
Howard Simon.
Long ago and far away, when I was a boy, we wore hockey sweaters, not hockey jerseys. And we never sat in locker rooms, dressing rooms they were called. And we didn't have a half wall. What would that be? We had boards. And we got penalties for boarding, not half walling.
Jeremy White.
Nor did we take a wrister. What an insulting word. We took a wrist shot. Nor did we take a slapper. What an insulting word. We took a slap shot. And not the movie. And no U.S. commentator can speak about magical mittens because most of them never saw a mitten. But I have actually heard them say he loops it in like a real good dunk. These odious phrases are all momentary inventions by American play-by-play announcers who have never played or understood the game.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Now, Howard, I have it on sources tell me that the man who uttered all those odious phrases, not the Canadian guy, but the loops it in like a real good dunk, will be joining Mr. Brayton Wilson at some point in the next 2 days.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yes. Doc Emmerich, when do you got Doc on?
He's going to be on at 11 a.m. this morning.
Wow. Pretty good. How many Swedish hockey coaches will you have in the next 2 days? Go to the Rolodex. Get them all up.
Let me just check my notes here.
I'm going to do a rundown of the Swedish Elite League in the 11 o'clock hour today.
You could get Roger Ronberg again, right?
Oh, I probably could.
Or is it Roger Ricard?
Yeah. Roger Ronberg.
I was thinking Ricard, too. Is there a Ricard Ronberg?
Yeah, there was a Ricard that we talked to. Hold on.
I got to be honest with you.
Hold on.
I was really impressed when we were going through the whole Dahlin thing. And this guy's pulling out contacts in the Swedish league, and I'm like, what?
Yep.
Who?
Yeah, we talked to Roger Ronberg back on May 2nd of 2018 to talk about Dahlin and also some Victor Olofsson, too.
Yeah.
Those were good. Actually, those were fun interviews. You know, with Emmerich, it's funny. I don't think we've ever had him on the show. And I'll be honest with you, with a guy like that, I wouldn't even know where to start. Like, when we get guests on, I try and... You guys know, because I always keep my notes in front of me. I think of some questions. What's the general flow to the interview? Prioritize it. What do you want to? What's the best stuff to start with? I try to put some organization into the interview. With a guy like Emmerich, my Lord, I mean, I don't even know where the heck do you begin with somebody who's called all the stuff he's called.
Man,
has been around the game as long as he has.
Put the pressure on me.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. No, I'm sure it's a great interview. It's a great get. It'll be a really good listen. That's one of those guys I think, you know, it's like, I'm trying to think of an equivalent. Like if you would have gotten like maybe Vin Scully on the show at some point. You know, like the guy has seen so much stuff. Dick Enberg, like I'm trying to think of some of the giants in their respective, the national broadcasting giants in their respective sports. I don't know, Madden. Where do you even begin with a guy like that? He's got so many stories over so many years. Olympic games, Stanley Cup games, all the things that he's done. And, so that's cool. I'm glad you're doing that. So, very nice. Very nice. Very good. Then did you see, what was the story the other day that Jim Nance's contract apparently is coming up? And he's looking for some, like, Romo money.
He wants
CBS,
Romo money, big time.
Like $17 million a year or something like that. But, you know, now there's another guy, Jim Nance. He's the face of CBS. Like, that would be another... Where do you begin? This guy's called all these football games and Super Bowls, and he is Mr. NCAA Tournament, all the Final Fours and the National Championship games, the golf events, the Masters alone. You could spend a segment, I think, alone talking to Jim Nance about the Masters. So, all right, when's the Emmerich interview again?
11 a.m. I'm also talking with Chad DeDominicis at 10:30 about the Sabres.
All right, we'll be listening for that.
All right.
You need to call him Doc or you call him Mike?
See, that's the thing. Is like I'm almost like, hey, what would you prefer me to call him?
Yeah.
I would call him Mike, and maybe he can do that. Hey, call me Doc. Or, I mean, I don't know. I would run that. I don't think, like, I don't know the guy from Adam. I've never even met him. So I don't know that I would go Doc Emmerich. I feel like the proper thing is to say Mike Emmerich.
Is it
Mike Doc Emmerich joining us?
Is it a stupid question, probably, to ask how he got the nickname Doc?
I know that story.
You do?
Yeah.
Is it because he has a doctorate?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
there you go.
He has a doctorate in broadcasting.
All right.
Got it from
Bowling Green, I think. That's
yeah.
right. He's a Bowling Green
Matt guy.
Yeah.
All right, I have a follow-up question. What do you got to do to get a doctorate in broadcasting?
Not much. I think breathe.
Right? Like what?
How hard can it be to get a doctorate in broadcasting?
You got
to
spell tough words?
You
put
a sentence together, you get a doctorate. Well, I can't
I get the idea that doctorates are difficult to get.
PhD broadcasting. Dr. White, I presume? Yes, I have a doctorate and I have a PhD in broadcasting.
With the pandemic coming, we got time at home. Should we just get doctorates?
I think one of the qualifications, though, is you've got to go to break on time.
Oh.
I will never,
you'll never make
ever
it.
Qualify for a doctorate.
Yeah.
I will never get one. PhD, doctorate in broadcasting. Yeah, I don't. All right. I've got a question for you. I did some research this week, Mr. White. You ready?
Yes, I am.
It's football related. I just decided to check out the internet and hit up a few different football sites
for
power rankings.
I love to check out the internet.
Well, it is a fad. So, you know, it's going to come and go at some point. Anyway, I breezed through a few different sites for some power rankings because I think one of the things we'll be talking about is, you know, the Bills and the division race, but the conference too, and where do they fit, and what tier are they in? And you can look at the schmozzle of teams right now with three losses in the AFC, and is there a separation in there? Right? You might think Kansas City's number one, or you might think Pittsburgh's number one. You might think tier one is both those teams, and then that's it. So here, I want to ask you your thoughts on where you'd put the Bills.
Okay.
For what it's worth, I'll give you first their overall power rankings, okay? This is AFC, NFC, the league altogether. Sports Illustrated, 11. They were the lowest, actually. ESPN, 7. NBC Sports, 4.
Okay.
That's the highest. Now, this is overall in the league. NFL.com, 7. The Ringer, 7. Pro Football Talk, 8. That's just the Bills, where they rank in the NFL for power rankings.
Okay.
Where would you put them?
Definitely better than the Bills. I would list as definitely better. Kansas City.
Yep, they're in the list.
I mean, you're supposed to say Pittsburgh.
They're on the list for all.
You're
these.
Supposed to say Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I've had a strange feeling about Pittsburgh this year. I told you after the opener when they played the Giants, I'm like, oh, Pittsburgh's coming. They're going to be great this mm-hmm. year. And they are 9-0. But now that they're 9-0, I don't know that they're great.
Yeah.
Watching, and this might be, you know, your own expectations of any team are what really frame how you feel about them. I have some Deontay Johnson. I have some Juju Smith-Schuster. And
no Chase Claypool.
I actually have a little bit of Chase Claypool.
Oh, diversify. That's a good thing
to do. I've got enough leagues. But the point is that each week I always feel like, where is it?
Yeah.
And they spread the ball around, but their offense is not crazy. And you're hearing more and more. Who did we talk to this week that said they'd be surprised if Roethlisberger makes it through the season?
Yes. We definitely
was it Mike Giardi that said that?
It was either him or Tannenbaum. I think it was
Tannenbaum.
Mike Tannenbaum.
Okay. Yeah. Right. I mean, Roethlisberger, you know, he missed a year. He comes back. You know, as your body breaks down or whatever, you get a little older. All of a sudden, a 17-week season and postseason might become a little tougher than it was when you 3 years ago. And he's been a guy that's always battled injury. So he's hurt. Both his knees aren't so great. I just wonder about Pittsburgh mm-hmm. a little bit. I think that they are definitely good. I have no doubt their defense is good. But their offense leaves me wanting more. And, you know, if I get the choice between the number one defense with the 15th offense and then flip that around, I'm always picking the team with the number one offense. And the Bills, to me, the Bills look like the kind of team that they can beat a good offense beats good defense. And if the Bills are on their game offensively, they can beat a lot of teams. Like the reason they didn't beat Arizona is because they had five drives where they went in the tank.
That Steelers game, the Bills' offense against that defense is a juicy matchup. That's
mm-hmm.
a great, great test. I can't wait to see how they fare.
It's a good test for this defense, too, against those receivers. Mm-hmm. They have talent there, no doubt.
For what it's worth, before you finish, Pittsburgh, in the same six groups that I just brought up, the same six power rankings, Pittsburgh was number one in four of the six. They were number two in two of the six. They finished behind Kansas City a couple times. So the majority put Pittsburgh number one overall in their power rankings. So you've got Pittsburgh, Kansas City. Who else would you put? NFC teams? Who else would you put ahead of the Bills for sure? I'll tell you the three that were most popular in these.
Okay, most popular is going to be Green Bay.
One. I don't mean their spot, but that's one of them.
No, right. Green Bay is going to be there.
Yep.
Tampa.
Correct. One other team was pretty much ahead of the Bills in all of these. In the NFC.
I suppose in the NFC. Is it the Rams?
Nope.
How about the Saints?
It's still the Saints. Okay. Now, I don't know how the Breeze injury affects everything, but this is a 7-2 New Orleans team, and I guess these would have been done before definitive word came out that the second opinion says, yeah, you got a collapsed lung and multiple fractures in your ribs. So those five teams were almost a lock to be ahead of the Bills. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Kansas City. Some of them, Baltimore was the only other AFC team that you would have seen somewhat consistently listed ahead of the Bills. Everybody else in the conference, typically, the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Titans, the Colts, those were all typically behind the Bills in the power rankings of AFC conference teams, or AFC teams, I should say.
We've got a bit of breaking news on the soft drink front that's relevant to this show. You drink?
I don't drink a lot of soft drinks.
You don't drink Schmepsi?
Not a big fan.
Okay. All right. Then never mind. I stand down.
No, that's all right.
They're apparently going to be doing an apple pie flavored Pepsi. And, you know.
Why?
You're kidding me.
No, I mean, this is. If there's one thing this show does, we're reporting on things that are now apple pie flavored. Kit Kats.
The Kit Kat was okay.
Yeah, well, there's going to be Pepsi apple pie.
I got to be honest with you.
For the holiday season.
The Kit Kat apple pie was actually all right, and I can see that working. Apple pie flavored soda?
Apparently.
Anybody? Why?
That sounds so unappealing.
I mean, they made.
Like, I don't.
Cherry, right?
Yeah,
they make cherry.
I was just going to tell you. This just
vanilla.
In. I do not.
Cherry vanilla.
I do not experiment. I'm not a cherry Coke guy. I'm not a vanilla Coke guy.
You're not a cherry Coke guy, though, because you think it'll taste like fruit, and you stay so far away from fruit that you won't do it.
That's probably right.
My guess is you stay away from vanilla because it grows and it grows as a plant.
I don't
plant,
like the extract.
You're like, oh, it's too natural. It's too, it's too close to a fruit.
I really like it on ice cream.
Is vanilla a fruit?
No, it's an extract, right? It's not a fruit, is it? It's a bean.
Beans are fruit.
Cherry vanilla, though, the combination of cherry vanilla.
No, I honestly, if I go get a sandwich and I'm at the deli and I walk over to grab a soft drink, I'm like, cherry? Bleah! I'm not a big soft drink person anyway. I don't drink as much as I used to. But I am one of those who actually, I'm trying to think, when was the famous ad campaign with the Coke Pepsi blind taste test ad campaign? Do you guys? Brayton, you wouldn't remember that. Was that in your lifetime?
What's that? The
Coke Pepsi ad campaign where people were doing blind taste tests? That was like a big thing.
Yeah,
I thought it was the 70s. But
maybe. I remember when they launched Crystal Clear Pepsi.
I actually
remember that too.
I remember doing the Coke. We actually did the Coke Pepsi blind taste test thing because I always thought they were two very distinct tastes. I never have any problem telling you if you gave me two glasses, I could easily pick out which one's Coke and which one's Pepsi.
Yeah.
We were just a Coca-Cola family growing up.
Not a Tab or an RC?
Nope. We tried RC. That was the like the third jersey. You know, we would have, you know, if my mom went to the store and they were out of Coke, she would get RC, and we'd look at her and go, what, were they out of Coke? and RC wasn't that good. Never Tab, never Fanta or whatever. But not a big pep. In fact, I will, Jeremy, if I go out and grab a sandwich, pizza, whatever, fast food joint, whatever, I will look at it and go, oh, golly, all right, I'll just have a bottled water. I mean, there's no way I'm touching the I'm just not a Pepsi guy.
Yeah.
But I might actually walk away from a fast food joint because that's the product they have.
So you're one of those people when you say it and they say, is the alternative okay? You say, actually, it's not.
No, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-mm. So, like, when they went to Coca-Cola Field, whenever stage
you were,
that was, and they changed the soft drink carrier.
Yeah. When it comes to the amount of, you know, soda. I grew up soda. It's not pop for me. Syracuse.
Oh, it's soda in New York. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I grew up soda. Right. People here, of course, call
soda. We put the R at the end on Long Island.
And I drank plenty as a kid, probably too much. And
yep, us too.
I really don't at all anymore.
Me too. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
and it's not anything other than I just never really do.
I don't know that it's good for you anyway to have that much.
Sure, of course. But it's
probably not.
But sometimes, I'll say this, you know, you mentioned like fast food or whatever. I will. The littlest bit of it. You get a slice of pizza.
You want to crave it. Right? Yeah, like, you crave it. Yes.
I'll get like three sips.
For sure.
I don't want the whole thing.
No, I know.
But yeah.
Sometimes the soda just feels right with a certain food item.
Or at the movies. Like that might be the other spot.
At a game.
I mean, if there's beer available.
See, I'm not a beer guy, so that's where I would.
Because like there are places where there are movie theaters where you could drink a beer. And like beer and popcorn isn't quite what beer and, you know, a soda might be.
See, I'm
a hot dog and a soda, a hot dog and a beer. Right. Like they both have their, you know. They have their
I think stuff. There are certain food items. To me, again, I will say I'm not a beer guy because you could get pizza and wings and have beer, of course. To me, when we do pizza wings, to me screams you better have soda. And I know it's not good for me, and I try not to drink it. But and we don't have it in the house. We drink water. I drink water with dinner. But there are certain meals, and sometimes if I go out for lunch and grab myself, you know, get a steak sub or something like that, it screams soda with it, or pop for you upstaters. I do like it every now and then. I had pizza the other day, and I actually got a can of soda because I was just craving it. I just had to have that rush, that energy kick. All right, when we get back.
Scott Pianowski.
Yeah, sorry, I was just looking at Twitter. There's some Dolphin injury. Anything tweeted about the Dolphins these days, I have to like, what? What's going on with Miami? It's like an injury update thing for some of their players.
The best storyline is that last game of the season is for the division, and Fitz is back in. Not because of I don't do it to get hurt.
My.
But come on, wouldn't that be something?
Does he get revenge for the Jets game?
I was just going to say, he already had a chance to make the playoffs here and lost in Week 17.
But that was his team. It wasn't this team.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my Lord. Honestly, I'd rather see Tua.
Right. How tough would it be for Fitz, who, you know, pumps Buffalo more than anybody, says, I love Buffalo because it's Buffalo, to have had two cracks at the postseason and have it end Week 17 in Buffalo?
Yeah, but I'd be worried about him having, like, a vintage Fitz game and knocking the Bills out.
Even if he didn't, any loss. Would be tough.
I would be nervous facing Fitzpatrick in the finale. I'd rather face Tua.
I'm not sure who I'd rather face. I want to see more of Tua.
Yeah.
He's had some good, some bad.
Right. Well, that's why I think he really had. He had the Rams game, nothing. The Chargers game, okay. Arizona game, he was really good. So he's had a little bit of everything in his three games so far. So this, I would think, I'm trying to think, would this be the second best defense he would have faced? The Rams defense is good.
Yep.
The Broncos, I mean, the Arizona, not a great defense. Although, you know, I mean, the way they throw different blitzes and looks at him, he really had a good game against them. You let me know how it goes. That's your homework assignment. Since I don't have Sunday ticket, I will have the Red Zone on at 4 o'clock to watch as much of the Miami-Denver game that I can see. But, you know, you can only get a decent enough feel with the Red Zone channel. So your homework assignment will be to let me know how Tua looks, because we're going to be talking a lot about the Dolphins the next few weeks. We will talk fantasy football in a moment. Scott Pianowski is going to be joining us from Yahoo Sports. You can always join us on the show at 803-0550 or 888-552-550. Brayton Wilson bringing you the Instigator Show at 10 o'clock today, including legendary broadcaster, now retired, Mike Emmerich at 11 o'clock. But Brayton on from 10 to noon with Instigators WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Scott Pianowski in a moment from Yahoo Sports. I was just going through the Yahoo website, reading some of the fantasy articles they have, and one of them they have is from Matt Harmon. It was Michael Pittman is the next breakout rookie wide receiver, and I thought, all right, let me read about this. In the course of looking at the article, I found this portion of it. The Dolphins have a cakewalk of a schedule. This is a fantasy football article. Strength of schedule, ease versus remaining opponents. Opposing pass defense efficiency first, opposing rushing defense efficiency first. So apparently the Dolphins, at least from a fantasy standpoint,
Are going to light it up.
They're going to go work against what is called the easiest slate of both opposing rush and pass defenses from weeks 11 to 17. That according to Matt Harmon and articles at Yahoo's website. Speaking of Yahoo, Scott Pianowski from Yahoo Sports joining us right now for some fantasy football talk. Scott, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
You know, we're good. Don't mention last Sunday's game. We're fine.
Yeah, I it's crazy. You know, we're seeing Arizona play Seattle tonight, and they played a few weeks ago, one of the just craziest games of the year. And then Arizona played a really unusual game against Miami the next week, and then, of course, you just saw what happened. And the joke with Seattle is they never play a normal game. So I'm thinking tonight – I know Thursday games can be a little wonky sometimes because the turnaround is so short, but I think anything's in play when Arizona and Seattle, when they go at it. And you know, you have the number one fantasy quarterback in Murray, who is in the MVP conversation. Now I would still give it to Mahomes, but Murray's had a great year. Obviously, Russell Wilson has been terrific. Not as much lately. He's had an interception problem. With Chris Carson probably out again, they don't have a lot of balance on that offense, but still, I mean, Murray and Wilson – then the primetime slate is really great, all three games, because the Raiders and Chiefs game I think is fascinating on Sunday night, that revenge game for the Chiefs, Andy Reid off a bye week, and then the Rams and Tampa Bay. Whoever wins that game Monday might be the presumable NFC favorite. We don't know the status of Breeze going forward. I think one of those teams might be in the Super Bowl. Not that you have to necessarily win the game Monday, and then the joke is maybe it's too late for Tom Brady, right? He goes to bed at 8:30. How's he going to play a Monday night game? But, yeah, I think the slate is really great this week, and, I'm looking forward to watching these games.
On the Seahawks, you know, you mentioned their offense, the turnover problem for Russell Wilson. DK Metcalf has been kept quiet from a fantasy standpoint as well, and, you know, he still, I think I said he leads the league in yards when single covered. Diggs is second. Which would lead me to believe he's not getting a lot of single coverage anymore. He's definitely getting a lot of attention, and Seattle has not yet – I want to say they haven't found an answer for that, but, you know, for Metcalf, who was just unstoppable, it's definitely slowed down a bit.
Yeah, and in that first meeting, remember, Arizona prioritized Metcalf. He only had two catches, and the play everybody remembers is he had that long run to stop the interception from being a touchdown. That the Ben Watson play we saw like 15 years ago where he made this incredible athletic move, but he did almost nothing on offense. and Lockett, Tyler Lockett, had 15 catches and 20 targets in that game. You know, 20 targets happens like once a season. So Lockett's not 100% right now. We know Seattle does not have a very wide distribution on offense. It's usually just these two guys. They don't throw the tight ends that much. David Moore probably on pace for about 650 yards or something like that. But this isn't like a situation with the Bills where, you know, they have three receivers you can play every week when they're healthy. Seattle really just steers it to two guys. And I'm curious to see if Arizona, do they view the game against Seattle last time as a success because they won and they kept Metcalf under wraps? Or they're like, well, wait a minute, we can't have Tyler Lockett going for 200 yards against us.
Yeah.
I'm curious if they come out with that same plan and to see how Seattle adjusts.
It's funny. I was going to say, if you know, reading all the fantasy articles about matchups this week, and I think there's a debate, quite honestly, in the fantasy community. So do you play Metcalf? If you had both guys, maybe you don't. But anyway, some people are wondering if you play Metcalf. Well, Peterson shut him down the last time they played. Well, what happened? Lockett went for 200 yards. So other fantasy people are saying, well, they're probably going to play Peterson and Lockett this time then, and maybe Metcalf goes off tonight. So it's kind of weird. If someone would find out what Arizona's planning to do, it might help fantasy players tonight.
Right, and the thing that's kind of funny about Seattle is that as great as Wilson was for the first 2 months, and Wilson, they'll figure it out. He's too great of a player to stay down for long. But it's been rare for Metcalf and Lockett to produce in the same game. And again, that's why what Buffalo did on offense last week is glorious, because anybody you played in their receiver group made you happy. It gave you at least par production, if not a birdie of production. You know, I mean, Diggs, man, I want to burn everything I wrote about, oh, I'm nervous about receivers who change teams. Well, you saw that game last week with Diggs and Hopkins. They changed teams, and they hit the ground running. You know, Hopkins had, like, what, 14 or 15 catches his first game. You know all about Diggs. He looks like he's been with Josh Allen for 5 years, not for less than a year. But it's interesting how the Seattle receivers don't often produce in the same game. And, you know, one thing I always look at, I just did my review of the NFC. I gave out my grades. I did the AFC last week, is how splintered offenses are for fantasy. You look at a team like the Rams. I talked about them being a legitimate Super Bowl threat. But they're frustrating for fantasy because they use three running backs, they use two tight ends, and they have a third receiver in Josh Reynolds who may end up like 800. He's like an 850-yard pace right now, but yet he may not be. He's probably borderline playable in a medium or deeper league. In a smaller league, you probably don't even roster that guy. So you don't know where the ball is going. Sean McVay is a good coach, and I'm not saying he's not doing what's right for his offense. We've seen it with Indianapolis, right? Three running backs, three tight ends. There's been a lot of splintered use with their receivers. We think maybe Pittman is starting to, now that he's healthy, their rookie receiver looks like he has the highest upside there. Jonathan Taylor's been a major bust. And when Mac got hurt in week one, I think people thought, here we go, Jonathan Taylor, he could be a league winner. And right now he may be the third best running back on their team. But again, the splintered usage, the fact that their box score is longer than the phone book, that's the case with the Rams, that's the case with the Colts, and it can be frustrating for fantasy because sometimes, at least with the Rams, you're going to play Kupp and Woods every week and feel pretty good about it. It's hard, even though I think the Colts are a good team. I have nothing but respect for Frank Reich. I'm starting to think that he was more instrumental in that Eagles championship than Doug Peterson. And then they really have been hurting since he's been gone. It hasn't helped that a lot of guys have been hurt there, also in Philadelphia. But I'm a big Frank Reich guy. But they can be a difficult team for fantasy sometimes.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, Scott, like the ebbs and flows of usage. And running back is a big one. I'm thinking about Detroit, where at the start of the season, Kerryon Johnson, DeAndre Swift, Adrian Peterson comes in, and he's getting carries. And now they've shifted more to what appears to be a DeAndre Swift featuring, and he looks to be a really nice find right about now. He's good. He was a high pick, and they use him in the passing game. So I don't know if, you know, Matt Patricia is going to be one of those guys that starts to give him more of a workload, or you almost wonder which coaches use a number of backs just for the sake of doing it because it's done, and they might be mocked if they feature one guy. I mean, it seems to always kind of just, you know, bounce back and forth, ebb and flow with the running back position.
It's a great backfield to look at. I never understood. I still think Adrian Peterson has a role with a football team in the NFL now, but Detroit adding a 35-year-old Peterson when they had a 21-year-old Swift, who they drafted early in the second round. When you take a running back early in the second round, that's basically the equivalent of what a first-round running back used to be. You're expecting him to contribute right away. And yeah, Swift had the drop against the Bears on opening day. Everybody remembers that play. But he's their most dynamic weapon in the backfield. And finally, it's been a very slow evolution of, okay, Peterson's the starter, Peterson's the starter, Swift is getting more involved, Swift is getting more involved. Finally, last week, Peterson only had 7 snaps. And that's what it should be. Swift should be the featured guy in this offense. And also, they have another really young, interesting breakout guy, T.J. Hockenson. It has been such an ugly year at tight end. The difference, this is a great way to frame it. I tweeted this a couple days ago. The difference between between Travis Kelce, tight end 1, and T.J. Hockenson, tight end 3, is the same as Hockenson at 3 and Tyler Croft, who nobody will play for fantasy, at tight end 35. That's the spread. There's nothing at tight end. You know, Kittle got hurt. Ertz has been hurt on the downside of his career, so it's been really hard to find things that work there. But Hockenson's been a pop in his second season. I still think they could target him more. His target share isn't what we want it to be. But the thing about a tight end is they're always open. There's no ideal way to – there aren't 6'5" defenders who can cover. You know, you're always going to be taller than the guy who's trying to run with you. And the whole idea that they're faster than the linebackers and they're bigger than the defensive backs. So tight ends are always matchup nightmares. So it's been exciting to see Hockenson grow into his role. And certainly Swift, the schedule is really favorable. I think that finally the baton has been passed. Finally they've anointed him. And he's going to be a running back 1. He's going to be somebody in my top 10 the rest of the season.
You mentioned New Orleans a little bit earlier. So what's the impact on the New Orleans the fantasy impact on the New Orleans players? Breeze is out. They actually have not announced whether Winston or Taysom Hill is starting, or maybe they're playing both, whatever. But we know Breeze is out probably at least 2 or 3 weeks. What's the impact there?
You know, I just want to jump in here because as a Jameis Winston truther, Scott, this is my Super Bowl. I kept him rostered in Dynasty for this moment.
And they haven't said anything about who's starting yet.
We'll see. But I think, you know, he signed with the Saints and, you know, Breeze, who knows? I don't think the league is funny. I think Winston deserves another opportunity to throw for another team. You throw for 5,000 yards in the NFL, you should not be just cast aside because of turnover issues that a lot of coaches can find a way to get out. And I don't know if it'll work for him. That's it. That's my spiel as the I believe in Jameis Winston still, especially as a fantasy idea.
I'm excited to watch him play again. That 2019 Tampa Bay team was what I call a carnival, where they scored a bunch of points, they allowed a bunch of points. Jameis, of course, threw a ton of pick sixes, including a pick six to end their final game and to get him to a 30-interception season.
That's right.
They literally could do a 30-for-30 on the Jameis Winston season, which is – it was fun, right? I mean, Evans was great,
yeah.
Godwin was great, and we enjoyed it. Unfortunately for Winston, if he had joined the Saints a few years ago and Breeze got hurt, we'd be so excited because typically we think of the Saints as one of the 3 or 4 best offenses in the league. And this year, the only New Orleans Saint who's been a fantasy prophet has been Kamara. He's been great. Top 10 every week and durable, or at least he hasn't gotten hurt. So you know, at running back, that is what you dream about, is a running back who performs every week, who is in uniform every week. Michael Thomas has had a year from hell with being hurt. There's a 1-game suspension from the team. He has, I think, that high ankle sprain, one of the worst injuries you can have. It just lingers. He doesn't look – his game is all about twitchiness, is all about breaking ankles at the first 5 yards of a route. He's not somebody who runs 15 yards and turns around. He's somebody who beats you within 5 or 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. He's a very low average target. He doesn't look right now. Now he has to get used to a new quarterback. Jared Cook had no catches last week. Emmanuel Sanders has been in and out of the lineup, kind of a hit or miss play. They can't get Tre'Quan Smith any level of consistency. Murray doesn't touch the ball enough to be played for fantasy. And then you have Sean Payton, who loves Taysom Hill. They paid him a lot of money. They use him regularly on packages. I think both of these quarterbacks, I know this sounds crazy, I think they're both going to have multiple pass attempts in this game. I mean, maybe Winston throws it 30 times and Hill throws it 3, but I think they're both going to play.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for Winston, I don't know what offense he's stepping into because Thomas isn't Thomas. Sanders hasn't been consistent for my taste. Smith is somebody who he makes a big play like once a month, it feels like. I think the Falcons plus the points is actually a great angle in this game. And I'm curious to see what Peyton can do. Now, one thing I will say is one thing I won't do with Winston is some people say, well, let's break down the film of what he did last week in the second half, and let's look at this play and that. I don't care about that. I mean, they did not go into that game expecting Winston to play. So he gets a week of first-team reps, and they'll have packages set up, that stuff that he likes to do. So that doesn't matter to me how he played. I know he didn't look great last week. I don't care about that. But unfortunately, this is not the 2015 Saints offense that he's stepping into.
What happens in the Browns backfield? Tony from Connecticut asking about Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. My feeling might be that they run it so much, you still have good options with either one of them.
Absolutely. They do not want Baker Mayfield to be the driver of that offense. Weather is your best friend in Cleveland. It was really windy right before their bye week. It was really windy after their bye week. And I haven't checked the Farmer's Almanac, but I'm not expecting a tame winter in Cleveland. I would think more cold weather, more windiness, more elements are going to come into play. And they have a good offensive line. They have two really good running backs. They have a quarterback who they would like to manage their best receivers out for the season, or at least ostensibly their best receiver. You know, Jarvis Landry has no touchdown catches. He's thrown a touchdown pass, has no touchdown catches. And last I checked, it's almost Thanksgiving. They want to play 1977 football. They want to run the ball. They'll be the AFC's most run-heavy team, and they're just going to try to – their games will end. You'll be watching all the games, and their game will end 15 minutes before everybody else is in the early window. That's the way they want to play football. So I have no problem playing Chubb as a running back one. I think Hunt is easily inside my top 20 every week because he's going to have double-digit touches, which is a commodity on a team that has a good offensive line that will never steer away from the running game. I think they're both playable.
And then I had one more for you. Who am I going to ask about? It was on the tip of my tongue, and I lost it the last minute. Name some teams, Howard.
Dolphins, Rams, Saints, Chargers, Packers.
Well, oh, okay, I got it.
Dolphins. You said Dolphins. Let me say really quickly, Salvin Ahmed.
No, the running back. Okay. Yeah.
I know what I was going to ask you. This is a big name. So this will be my weekly guillotine question. It speaks to the funny.
You're still alive. That's good.
I'm still alive. It speaks to the funny year that this player has had, and also the funny format. I got Ezekiel Elliott for free. You know, like.
I know.
Right? Like, what a year.
It should be good, right?
I guess.
You're all excited,
I mean,
right?
I know he's not done much. I mean, the offense there has, of course, fallen apart. But, you know, for regular fantasy owners that have Zeke, do you have to keep playing him, or what do you do?
I think you do, because hopefully the bye week at least let the offensive line get a little healthier. Their line has fallen apart. And although Tony Pollard, it's crazy to say this, he's looked better than Zeke over the last, I don't know, 3 to 5 weeks, but they're paying Zeke so much money, they will never go to a 50-50. They'll never say, oh, let's start Pollard and see what happens. That's off the table. So Elliott is another guy. There aren't that many of them who you know every week is getting 15 touches, and that's a commodity. And hopefully, I know Andy Dalton played very poorly before he was hurt, but this offense with a healthy and maybe streamlined Dalton, you know, with some extra time to get comfortable with a really good batch of receivers. We all love their receivers. So I would think, you know, they were competitive 2 weeks ago against Pittsburgh. I know Pittsburgh sometimes plays down to their level of competition, and we'll be curious to see how serious they take Jacksonville with that Baltimore Thanksgiving game looming. But Dallas just had their bye week. I think their offensive line will be healthier. I think Dalton ostensibly gives them a chance to be a credible offense. I think when Prescott got hurt, the idea was that, okay, Dalton's a step down, but at least this shouldn't shipwreck the team. And, of course, they've been a shipwreck since then. I'm curious. I think this week is going to tell us what we're in for Dallas. If they can be competitive against an resurgent Minnesota team, I could see getting back in the playoff hunt. Not that beating Chicago means anything to me, but, I mean, they beat Green Bay at Green Bay. That was a good win. They probably should have won at Seattle a few weeks ago. I don't think Minnesota's a bad team. If Dallas can hang in that game, I think they can just be kind of like the equivalent of what would be like a 7-9, 6-10, 8-8 team, a team that's competitive, that isn't a punching bag. If they get blown out in this game, maybe it's look out below, and then they have to start, you know, trying different things at quarterback, going back to their third, fourth, fifth string quarterback. So I think this game will tell us a lot. But with Elliott, yes, you're right. It would have been a prize to get him in September. Nobody feels that way now. But because the projectable volume is still very high, we have to give him a decent fantasy rank.
Well, Scott, first off, let me tell folks that you can always read Scott's work and all the fantasy work at Yahoo's website, sports.yahoo.com, and follow Scott on Twitter, @Scott_Pianowski. You're off next week, so enjoy the Lions Thanksgiving game. Stay safe. Have a great Thanksgiving, you and your family, and we will talk to you after the holiday.
I look forward to that. It's good to talk to you guys.
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Pianowski. You take care, sir.
I tell you, that fantasy, the
Ezekiel
guillotine
Elliott. Ooh.
Free.
Well, if it's free, that's fine. I mean, whatever. You know, because if, you know, if you were like banking on Ezekiel to be really good for you. It's...
Well, I mean, you know, if you're adding any player that you think might be good or get volume in some sort of guillotine format. So, yeah. It's like, all right, I mean,
Not even a thought. You know, when Dak goes down, all right, they're just going to drive. They're going to need Ezekiel Elliott to drive their offense. Just give them the ball.
I mean, like, you know, there's seven teams left, so rosters aren't perfect.
Yeah.
They're close. Seven-team league. You'll have some pretty good teams.
All right, we'll get a break in, and we'll get you ready for Brayton. Instigators and One Bills Live both off today and tomorrow. So Brayton is going to bring you Instigators from 10 to noon. Actually, it'll be a little bit after 10 because we're super, super late. And then he doesn't care. The one time Brayton doesn't care if we just go way over the break. And then Joe and Louis DiBiase, the DiBiase brothers, will be bringing you One Bills Live today from noon to 3. So stay tuned for that coming up in moments on WGR.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The show is over at 10, but we never stop talking. Tweet us anytime. Howard and Jeremy, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
How much time we have? Oh, it doesn't matter because Brayton's on next.
And technically the show wasn't over at 10 today.
Okay, Brayton, first off, you're up 10 to noon.
Yep.
And then you're going to watch this Thursday night game, aren't you?
Maybe a little bit.
In Guillotine.
He's still alive.
He's got Russell Wilson, yep. Tyler Lockett, yep. Kenyon Drake, yep. and Ooh. Christian Kirk.
Yep.
Oh, man. This is a big game for you.
He needs points.
Big-time points.
Well, one thing about this, so just to give you an idea, again, Guillotine format is the lowest person is out. And according to our projected points, you are projected the lowest. But the highest is 6 points above you.
How's that possible?
We have seven teams. Think about that. Seven teams forecast 6 points apart.
That's pretty tight, yeah.
That's what life in the Guillotine League is.
Yeah, that's stressful.
Now you've really stressed me out before my show. Thanks.
Now you got to stay up, watch the whole game.
I'm second from the bottom with 114. But again, the highest is 118. You have 112.
The highest projection of any team is 118.
So you're fine.
Yeah, it's only six points.
All right, that's not bad.
It's not bad at
it's
all.
It's not too bad.
It's just stress. What you need is a lot, like a high
35,
score.
35, 34.
You'd love it. You'd love to see
now,
it.
Now I've got my phone in my hand, and I'm frantically checking my Guillotine team. Do I have everything all set for today? Right. Should I change anyone out? Should I put someone else in?
Listen, Tyler Lockett had a big game last week. I think he's going to – or last time last these two time teams played. I think you should get him out. I think he's due for a letdown. Why don't you take him out of the lineup?
You can't play Kirk. Mm-hmm. They're going to throw to Hopkins all night.
Yeah.
And Fitz. So.
And
I heard Drake is there.
And Russell
give
Wilson's
the ball to Chase
really,
Edmonds.
Really fall. You know who? Jake Luton.
There you
Telling
go.
Telling you. I got a tip on him this week.
Sleeper.
Yeah. You're going to have an explosion.
Nah. I'm
Trade
good.
For Alex Smith.
The only Jaguars player that's worth playing is James Robinson at this point.
That's a good
And
point.
I have
that's
him
true.
On my
that's,
team.
That's right.
Yeah. Down to seven, winner take all, separated by 6 points in the projections.
So what do you do, Brayton? So if you don't watch the whole game, like first thing tomorrow morning, when you wake up, first thing you do is go check the box score?
Just check the score.
I'll just wake up and check my
app. 13 to 10 is not a good
indication.
Trouble.
That would spell trouble.
Yeah.
I might as well go out and bet the under tonight because if I get the, you know.
Well, what is the over-under for tonight? High 50s?
I don't know. I don't know what the forecast is. It's in Seattle.
Because last time the game would have been, they both got in the
37-34.
Right? Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's in Seattle.
Yeah.
So it could be raining and cold all we know. I think every day it's raining and cold.
All right. Doc Emmerich at 11.
Quick note.
Make sure you hit the break on time, Brayton, for Doc Emmerich at 11.
Yeah, that's the plan.
He's
going to
be
worry.
8 minutes late starting this stupid show because of us. Quick note. Add another game to the list of college football games that are not going to be played this weekend. Michigan State, Maryland canceled. Maryland's still having COVID problems. It's their second straight game canceled. So that's 12 games this weekend on the Division I schedule that will not be played because they've either been postponed or canceled. Brayton, he's putting on the foil, and he's bringing the instigators. Next on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.